common things to talk about the kingdom. Yeast and bread and fields and sheep and weddings and lanterns. So it's not surprising that Jesus uses a seed. But some of what Jesus says in this parable is surprising. It was meant to startle his hearers. And it startles us too if we're listening. For this is the first thing Jesus says about the seed planted in the soil. He says, day or night, whether the farmer gets up or sleeps, the seed sprouts and grows. Well, here's the point. The coming, the growth, the flourishing of the kingdom of God isn't as much about us as we might think. It's about God. It's not so much about what we do. It's about what God does. It's not so much about our hard work or efforts. It's about the power that's in the seed, the power that's in God's word and God's presence and God's work in this world. You know, the news will not say it, but last night, while we were all sleeping, God was at work, bringing God's kingdom. This was hard for the Jews of Jesus' day to believe, because they were more than ready to lay claim to an earthly kingdom and to help God run it. And I'm afraid we're not much different. We too sometimes want to believe that the growth of the kingdom of God here on earth has a lot to do with our actions, our dedication. We want to believe that God's kingdom is growing because we have put really effective programs in place. We want the flourishing of God's kingdom to be about our sincere efforts, our theological astuteness, our thoughtful decisions, our excellent worship services. But it's not. Jesus says it's not. Day and night, whether the farmer sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. One of my Calvin Seminary professors pointed us to a deeply theological work that touches on this point. It's called Frog and Toad Together. It's a collection of early reader stories written by Arnold Lobel and about two friends, Frog and Toad. One story goes something like this. Frog was working in his garden one day when Toad walked by. "What a fine garden you have, Frog," said Toad. "Yes," said Frog, "it is very nice, but it's hard work." "I wish I had a garden," said Toad. "Here are some flower seeds. Plant them in the ground," says Frog. So Toad takes his seeds, runs home, plants the seeds immediately in the ground. "Now seeds," said Toad, "start growing." Toad walked up and down his rows of seeds a few times. He even put his face down close to the ground and shouted, "Seeds, start growing!" But they didn't grow. Late that night, Toad decided his seeds must be afraid of the dark. So Toad brought a candle to them and read them stories all night long. All the next day, Toad sang songs to the seed. All the next day, Toad read poems. Finally, Toad played his violin to the seeds. Still no growth. After days and nights of coaxing the seeds, in utter exhaustion, Toad fell asleep. "Toad, Toad, wake up," said Frog. "Look at your garden. What a nice garden you have." "Oh, yes," said Toad with delight, seeing little green plants popping out of the soil. "But Frog, you were right. It was very hard work." How often we look like Toad. We let ourselves believe that it's all the work we do, that makes the kingdom grow. But friends, we can't make the kingdom of God grow any more than a gardener like Toad can make his seeds shoot up from the soil and climb toward the sun. Whether we sleep or whether we toil, by its own power, the kingdom comes and grows. Here's the second surprise Jesus reveals about God's kingdom. It grows mysteriously. The seed grows, Jesus said, though the farmer does not know how. Let me tell you about a friend of mine named Sheila. Sheila had run from an oppressive Haitian government, and after spending over a year in a refugee camp in Guantanamo Bay, landed here in the U.S. as a pregnant teenager. What happened next still mystifies me. Sheila showed up in a Christian Reformed church here in Granville, Michigan, and wanted to learn about Jesus. What Sheila told us was that as a child, Jesus had come to her while she was on her deathbed. She was in the throes of delirium and fever, and she saw Jesus reaching out to her to save her life. And Sheila wanted to know more about this Jesus, the one who had saved her from death. Eventually, Sheila professed her faith in Jesus and in God's unbounded love and grace, and was baptized in that mostly Dutch church, along with her little daughter, Shalene. I can't explain it. And it might make us a little uncomfortable to think about God working through visions and in ways we don't fully understand, but Jesus said the kingdom of God is growing. It's growing in people. It's growing throughout the world. And how it grows, we do not always know. What I do know is that through Sheila, an entire church was witness to the mysterious working of God's Spirit. And what Jesus wants us to know is there is a lot we simply cannot understand or predict about how God works. How God works his love and grace and mercy and abundance into lives and hearts and minds. Finally, here's one more surprise in this parable about the kingdom. The kingdom's growth and eventual full flourishing is certain. All by itself, the soil produces grain, said Jesus. The stalk, the head, the full kernel, and then the harvest. All by itself, automatically, the kingdom grows and grows to its fullness. Automate is the Greek word here. And the sense of this word is, of course, divine causation. God, who causes the seed to sprout and grow, will certainly, by God's own power, bring what God has begun to fruition. The harvest is certain. Friends, God is bringing God's kingdom to its beautiful, gracious, glorious conclusion. This is the confidence, this is the certainty with which the church lives and ministers today, that nothing can stop, nothing can finally impede the loving purposes and power of God. To gather God's global and diverse family and to bring God's kingdom to its full flourishing. Martin Luther actually said it very beautifully as he commented on this text. Luther said this, "After I preach my sermons on Sunday, When I return home, I drink my little glass of Wittenberg beer, and I simply let the gospel take its course. I might just try that. Luther knew that the harvest wasn't up to him. He knew it was up to the life-giving power of God, the power of God's word, the power of God's spirit. And friends, that power, while the town of Bethlehem slept, came to birth in a humble manger. And while the ancient world of Jesus' day was sleeping, that same power overcame the stronghold of evil and death and walked out of the tomb in glorious life. And that power is still with us and in us today. But what does that really mean for us, for you? In what ways does that powerful message impact our lives and our ministries? Well, a wise friend and pastor who shared his thoughts with me on this passage said that if we truly believe what this parable taught, that the kingdom is not all about us, but about God, the seed is powerful and the harvest is certain, maybe we would live with less pressure, more wonder, less doing, more trusting, less certainty, more curiosity, less busyness, more prayer, less guilt, more freedom, less focus on scarcity, more focus on abundance, less worry, more confidence, less fear, more faith, less focus on me, more focus on God. For the kingdom of God is like a seed that is sown in the soil. And whether we sleep or get up, in ways we do not know, all by itself, it grows into its fullness and is harvested. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's pray. God of wonder, thank you for your life-giving word and spirit. Help us trust that you are at work in us and all around us. Give us grateful hearts and eyes to see your presence in people and places we don't expect. Stay with us always, we pray. In Jesus, the Word made flesh. Amen.